Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full, they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for a moment. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we are going to focus on this morning is one short verse. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Imagine for a moment that it's, let's say, just a random February Sunday morning in the church year, sort of like today, like most Sunday mornings, and you are off for service from your house, and as you leave, you have a lot on your mind. I hope the weather stays above freezing for the rest of the winter. Did I turn the lights off before I left the house? Don't really care for either one of the teams playing this afternoon, but I probably should watch the Super Bowl anyway. You know how most mornings go for you when you are on your way to church. You walk into those doors at the back expecting to see Bob or John greeting you when you come through the door. Only this time you see the God of Israel, El Israel, seated high above where our cross usually is. What would your reaction be? Well, probably a lot like Isaiah's. Here it was, just another day to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Probably even thinking about what was for dinner later after service. And suddenly Isaiah sees the Lord of heaven and earth, Eth Adonai, highly exalted with angels flying around, praising the Lord, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." To say he was surprised would be an understatement for sure. In fact, that surprise probably quickly turned to terror. Isaiah knew the scriptures. He knew that the Lord would meet his people in the temple, but this was always understood to be done invisibly. And besides, the holy place was always shrouded in darkness. Even so, God allowed Isaiah to see his glory, and the result was sheer terror on Isaiah's part. Why? Because Isaiah knew himself to be a sinner. He knows that God is holier, holier than anything on earth. In fact, he is the holiest one. And there is nothing that Isaiah can do to change the relationship between the holy God and a sinner like him. Something has to give, and God is not going to change. He knows a sinner like himself cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. So he says, I am lost, or I am undone. Many translations use different phrases in this verse, but they all mean the same thing. Woe to me, I am a dead man. Here, Isaiah confesses the completeness of his sin. Woe to me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I have sinned against the Lord in thought, word, and deed, so to speak. And I come from people of complete sinners. And you, O Lord, would be right in sending me and all of us to temporal and eternal punishment. See, Isaiah confessed his condition and that of the condition of the people from where he comes. And by all people, that means us also. Thought, word, and deed becomes our undoing every day of our lives. No amount of effort or work or can-do attitude can change the fact that our thoughts are way less than holy. Our words are more often contain venom than they do sugar. And our actions, well, later in his prophetic work, Isaiah calls them filthy rags. No, we are no different than Isaiah and the people of his day. We are not exceedingly holy people by any means, and we, like all humanity, have sinned, and the wages of that sin is death. Now, in case you're wondering why the Lord would appear to Isaiah in such a way, and Isaiah in his condition as sinner, well, although a sinner, he is going to be sent by the Lord. He is going to be the Lord's apostle. He will be a prophet of Yahweh. He will speak God's word to the people. And in order to change Isaiah from sinner to holy, from unworthy to worthy, from dead to life, God must act. God loved the world from the very foundation of it, and in his infinite knowledge, he planned the salvation of the entire world through the Messiah, whom the Lord promised to Israel in the fullness of time, sent to save the world from the curses of the law pronounced to it. So then the Lord sent one of the seraphim, a fiery angel from heaven, to purge Isaiah's unclean lips. With a coal from the heavenly altar of incense, the angel touches Isaiah's lips, and rather than being consumed by fire, Isaiah's lips are cleansed. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Who was it that atoned for Isaiah's sin? Well, at the end of this scene, in verse 13, God speaks about his holy seed. Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, helps us understand that this holy seed, this offspring promised to Abraham, is Jesus. And your offspring, who is Christ, Paul writes. Not Isaiah, but the Lord himself. For the sake of that holy seed, his anointed Messiah has taken away, has atoned for the sin and guilt of the world. Isaiah is declared righteous because of Jesus' death on the cross, and he is now fit for the Lord's service. And then the Lord formally calls Isaiah into his new ministry. See, previously, Isaiah had been a priest, interceding on behalf of the people to God. And now he will work facing the other direction, speaking from God to the people. So the Lord asks the question that he already knows the answer to. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? The Lord, the triune God, who is both one, I, and three, us, is really putting the question directly to Isaiah, who is now equipped to answer the Lord, not in terror, but in a free and joyful and willing spirit. Here am I, send me. His ministry would not be easy, proclaiming condemnation to people unwilling to hear the word of the Lord. Yet the Lord, for the sake of the holy seed, promised to Adam, promised to Abraham, promised to David, will forgive his people who, by the preaching of judgment, turn from their sin, and by the preaching of faith in the holy seed, will return to the Lord their God. And the Lord continues to have mercy on all his people and sends out ministers to speak the word of the Lord, calling us to repentance for our sin and announcing the forgiveness for the sake of his holy seed, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. For Jesus' sake, the Lord has atoned for your sin and speaks to you every Sunday morning in his absolution. So when you come in here on Sundays, when you walk through those back doors, God himself is here, high and exalted in his word, in his sacraments. And when we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned in thought, word, and deed, we confess our inability to do anything about it. And our Lord Jesus says to us, I know. That's why I came. That's why I gave my life for you. You see, this is the work of the most holy God. And by his work, he creates holy people through the forgiveness of sins. And we, like Isaiah, are then prepared for the Lord's service, to be a light to those who walk in a darkened world.